actually presenting on behalf of Dr. Yufeng Ge, who was my PhD student until a couple of years ago. He graduated in 07 and since has worked as a postdoc, and I recently was able to hire him as an assistant research engineer. His wife had a baby about a month ago, and that's why he's not here, and asked me to present for him. Baby's great, by the way. Co-authors are Dr. Sui. I guess you're the only co-author, Sui. So I'll talk about cotton fiber quality characterization with vis-and-ir reflectance spectroscopy toward an optimal sensor. This touches somewhat on the work that Vince just talked about. You've heard this already to an extent, so I won't belabor it, but fiber quality is increasingly important. Recent shifts in the international market, namely that textile processing has moved from the United States to Asia, have highlighted the need to focus on quality. Price is a big issue. Quality has a big effect on the price that a producer receives for his cotton. The second issue is just access to the markets. International markets, textile markets, have a little bit different expectation for what the quality of fiber is going to be. To be able to sell cotton well in those markets, we have to meet their quality needs. Well, if quality is important, we got to measure it. So how do we measure it? Currently, we have laboratory instruments like these two that you see here, HVI and APHIS. These are very good instruments for measuring fiber quality, but for our purposes, they have some drawbacks. And these drawbacks are that they are expensive instruments, that they're rather slow, that they are destructive, that they cannot be mounted on harvesting equipment. And you can also do microscopic image analysis, but of course that has to be done in a laboratory, very time consuming. So what we really want to do is develop an optoelectronic sensor for cotton fiber quality measurement. Again, Vince talked about one aspect of that project using a camera that can get rid of the trash effect on the sample, such that you can measure just the lint even though there's trash in the sample. We want to be able to mount such a sensing system on a harvester for real-time field-based measurements so that we can map fiber quality in the field. We would also like to be able to consider using this type of instrument in a gin for process control. We would like this system to be complementary to HVI and APHIS. The literature has indicated, as Vince mentioned already, that vis-and-ir reflectance spectra are well correlated with certain parameters. One of the biggies is maturity / fineness. Mainly we measure that as micronair. Joe Montalvo produced these results, I think, back around 1990 for the first time. Sui and I have written on this. Heard a presentation yesterday by Jimmy Rogers, who's at the ARS Cotton Quality Research Lab at Clemson, South Carolina. He's doing a lot of work in this area as well. The graph here on the upper left shows you that there are fairly significant differences in reflectance spectra in the NIR range when you have different micronair samples. These were the samples that Dr. Sui used, that Vince reported on earlier. You see the actual sample measurement data on the bottom right and a very high R-square. Now, it's worth pointing out that these are international cotton calibration standards. So these are very clean samples. They have very well-characterized micronair. So these are ideal samples to work with. And ultimately, we're looking at working with either dirtier samples or seed cotton samples. Specifically for this work, the objectives were to find the optimal vis and IR bands, and note that I have and bandwidths here underlined, because typically what you're doing when you're doing spectroscopy and maybe you're trying to develop a sensor that has a certain spectral area, certain areas of the spectrum that you're sensing in, you're just looking at wavelengths. Okay, I want to find the right three wavelengths or the right five wavelengths that I'm going to put in the sensor. But there are different things that you can detect with spectroscopy that have different bandwidths that are related to those effects. So we need to consider not only the wavelengths, but the widths of those bands that we're measuring. So how do we do this? I'll talk about that. So that's what we want to do. We also want to evaluate the accuracy of three different methods for vis and IR analysis. We collected 60 cotton samples from two fields near College Station. We ginned these with the Tensol Lab gin at A&M. We sent a portion of the samples to the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute at Lubbock, part of Texas Tech. And we took a portion of those samples and scanned it with a UV VisNIR spectrophotometer that you see here on the right, this Carry 500 instrument. In terms of data analysis, we wanted to identify optimal wave bands and bandwidths as objective one. So we used three different methods to do this. The first two involved just averaging the spectra over 20 nanometer bandwidths, which is fairly typical. You'll use some standard bandwidth and you'll run your spectra through some sort of modeling procedure. Partial least squares regression is pretty common. We use that. We also use multiple linear regression with the Mallows CP statistic. And I don't want to belabor this, but basically what Mallows CP statistic does is if you have a bunch of different models that have different numbers of regressors in the model, Mallows CP will tell you an optimal model size. Because if you keep adding regressors to a model, your R-square value will keep going up. But at some point, it doesn't make sense to keep adding regressors to the model. So Mallows CP helps you understand what number of regressors is appropriate with respect to increases in R-square. We also did multiple linear regression with wavelet coefficients, which allows us to look at varying the bandwidths of the spectra, and we also use Mallows CP in this for optimal model selection. With respect to objective two, we use leave one out cross-validation to look at the accuracy of these different methods. Well, here's HVI data on the 60 cotton samples. Micronair ranged from 2.96 to 4.95. And if you look over on the far right, there's the CV of all these properties. And Micronair had the highest CV of all the properties. That's fairly typical. That's something we've seen when we've picked samples out of the field and get HVI properties measured on them. Micronair will vary more than the other parameters. It's nice that Micronair is also very readily measurable to some extent with NIR spectroscopy. Length was 1.08 to 1.26 inches, strength 23.5 to 32.3 grams. That's not grams per tex. Yes, grams per tex. Uniformity 79.9 to 85.6. RD was 67 to 75 almost, and yellowness 6.2 to 9.8. And yellowness, you see, is almost as high in CV as Micronair. Here is a slightly truncated spectrum for a couple of cotton samples that we were working with, and you can see that there are fairly significant differences in these curves. Now, these are some of the useful wave bands that were selected when we were using multiple linear regression with Mallows CP statistic to pick the optimal model. With Micronair, six wavelengths were selected. Again, all of these on this slide are 20 nanometer bandwidths. Length, there were five bands selected, strength two, uniformity four, RD was just one, plus B had four bands selected. And you'll note that in some of these, you've got everything from the visible to fairly far out in the near infrared in excess of 2,000 nanometers. When we did the multiple linear regression with wavelet analysis, we had different numbers of bandwidth selected. And I want to focus here on Micronair. The model selection procedure picked out one, two, three, four bands. And note that the bandwidths are different. At 590 nanometers, the bandwidth selected there was 128 nanometers, whereas at 1976, it was a very narrow band of 16 nanometers, and the other two were somewhat in between. Here are some of the results comparing the R-square values among the different prediction methods for all the parameters. I think one of the takeaway messages here is that when we use multiple linear regression with wavelet coefficients, in almost every case, we got the highest R-square with that process, higher than multiple linear regression just with 20 nanometer bandwidths, and higher than partial least squares by a long shot. In the one case where multiple linear regression, just using the 20 nanometer bandwidths, was higher, you'll note that I pointed out earlier that there were 6 regressors in that model as opposed to 4 in the wavelet model. So I think that's where the difference is. If we added 2 regressors into the wavelet model, its R-square would be higher as well. And these are the actual data. Micronair is the probably best one to look at because the R-square is the highest. This is a 0.86 R-square with the wavelet model. Now, an interesting point to make, and Vince had a slide on this. It was based on something that Jimmy Rogers said yesterday. That is that they are shooting, with their handheld NIR instrument, they're shooting for being able to estimate HVI micronair to plus or minus 0.3 micronair units 70% of the time. Okay. Now, when we use the wavelet-based multiple linear regression method, we're getting a root mean square error of 0.197, which is well below the 0.3 that they're looking at, which we think is pretty good. It's also not much above the reported accuracy of the HVI, or reported repeatability, if you will, of the HVI measurement in the classification of Cotton Ag Handbook 566 by USDA. So all of these, in fact, some of these, for example, strength, even though the R-square wasn't extremely high, the root mean square error is less than the reported accuracy in the classification of Cotton Handbook. So in conclusion, visible and near-infrared models perform reasonably well in predicting most HVI fiber parameters. Wavelet analysis, which enables consideration of different bandwidths, showed superior predictive power over other methods. The wavelet method appears to be a good choice in band and bandwidth selection in developing an optoelectronic sensor for cotton fiber quality characterization. Future work. We want to test the universality of these results with cotton samples that would include different varieties, different growing conditions such as management practices and geographic regions, and different levels of machine interaction such as harvest methods, levels of seed cotton and lint cleaning, et cetera. And then development of optoelectronic sensors based on this work, which is ongoing. That was some of the work that Vince reported on just a moment ago. I want to thank Texas AgriLife Research for its support of this project through the Cropping Systems Program, and also Scott Stanislav, who is Christine Morgan's graduate student, who helped us with picking these samples. And I thought I had a question slide on there, but I'm done. John, if I have time for questions, I can take a couple of questions. Ed?
As you know, micronair is, from the HVI, is really a combination of fineness and maturity.
Yes.
Is your method, is it more really sensitive to maturity or fineness? I mean, is there a theoretical reason to believe it should be one or the other with the spectrometry approach?
Yes. Well, from an optics standpoint, when you put smaller particles on a surface, you get more light scattering from smaller particles than you do from larger particles. So my first statement would be that it relates more to fineness than it does to maturity. But there, when you talk about how micronair is measured, there's a lot of interplay between fineness and maturity. Because basically micronair, you have a known sample mass, you have a known sample volume, so the density of the sample is known, and you're putting a known pressure across that sample so that what you're measuring is flow rate. And the flow rate's dependent on the friction, which is dependent on the surface area of fibers within the sample. So the more fibers that it takes to make up that mass of sample, the more friction that you get more friction, more fibers from less mature fibers. And so, but fineness plays into that as well. And, you know, it's hard to break that out. And I guess my tendency would be to say that optically speaking, fineness makes more sense, but those aren't completely unrelated. And if you measure maturity like with an image analysis method, fiber sectioning and that kind of thing, you find a lot of correlation there as well. Hope I didn't muddy that up too bad. Time for another one? Okay, thank you.